The old folk refuse to give praise to the Lord for his goodness. But let me ask you a question. Who do you think woke you up this morning? Who do you think started you on your way? Well, I checked the obituary. That's what we do when we get old. And I didn't see anybody's name in the obituary column because you are here in the building. Well, now you may be here with arthritis, but God is still good. You may be here with a bad heart, but God is still good. You may be here like me with high blood pressure, but God is still good. You may be here as a diabetic, but God is still good. And when you know that God is good, you can't help yourself. You got to admit that down through the years, God's been good to you. But Reverend Smith Davis said something in the text that at first I got a little messed up with. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But now, wait a minute, David, did you say never? Now, never is a pretty strong word because Brother Chisholm, never means notwithstanding. There's absolutely no question about it, and there's absolutely no evidence of the contrary. You mean you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But Crowell, in reality, David isn't saying that there has never been any trouble in our lives. He's not saying that there have not been times in our lives when we were in need. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I had to borrow from a friend until my check come. Because there have been times when, yes, Lord, I had more bills than money.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now once again for the privilege of hearing your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching, ministry will meet us in the text, tailor the truth. That we're teaching today that every hearer's heart might not only hear the word, but heed the word. God, that you might receive the glory and we the good. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. God bless you. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 47. Psalms number 47. And we spoke this morning at Psalms number 46 and verse 10, but we want to pick up at Psalms number 47, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us.
the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk about reasons to rejoice. Reasons to, you know, sometime when you're in worship service and folk are observing you instead of observing the Spirit, and they're trying to figure out why you shout or why you don't shout. And a lot of times when we can't come up with what would soothe or comfort or make sense to our thinking, we miss many times the fact that God's word, his promise, and all that he provides is enough reason to shout every Sunday morning. Don't care what's going on in your life. Don't care what the devil is trying to do. Knowing that God is in control and God has got this thing fixed is reason enough to rejoice. And one of the things that I like about Psalm 47 is because it comes after Psalm 46. And Psalm 46, verse 10, where we were preaching from at the earlier service, says, "Be still." And one translation says, "Let be and stand still." Another says, "Cease striving," or "cease stressing." And it all just breaks down at saying, keep in mind that God is in control of the situation. And then it moves on in the verse 11, and it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us." Now, if you didn't have a reason to shout in verse 10, when you got to verse 11, it couldn't be any clearer that he is with us. And the record is in the New Testament, Romans 8 and 30, or 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? So God is giving you the fact that he's with you reason enough to rejoice. And it says, the God of our Jacob is our refuge. Now that's so powerful. That's a message all in itself. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Because let me put it this way. Jacob was a surplanner. He was a schemer, an underminer. He was all of those things that God did not like him to be or to become. But here is the point. If God could take care of Jacob, if God could take care of this man whom he loved, how much more also can he take care of you? Look at verse 1 of the 47th number of Psalm says, oh, clap your hands. This is participatory praise. Because some of us like to be in praise, but we don't participate. You can't be in praise without participating. It is an expression and an exercising of your mouth and your hands and a releasing of your adoration and your praise for God. You must participate for you to be a part of praise. You can't just stand there and watch, folks, and think that you're in the praise service. No, you are at the praise service, but you ain't in the praise service. You've got to put your hands together. That's clapping. Put them together. Take them apart. Put them together. Take them apart. That's clapping. Why is this? It seems funny and humorous, but you've got to understand the mandates and the directives of the word. Oh, clap your. It's inclusive of all of the believers. So I don't care what day it is, whether it's a Sunday or Sabbath or Monday or Tuesday. God is worthy of praise every day. I don't care what's going on in your life. You might not feel like praising him, but he's worthy. What if he didn't feel like letting you have air this morning? And I'm not talking about air conditioning either. Well, what if he just didn't feel like letting you eat this morning? I mean, we find so much to complain about, but if God didn't remind himself that he would not get rid of you because of him and not because of you, you and I would be gone a long time ago. So it's not about how you feel as relates to rejoicing and to give God praise. It's a participatory thing. And I don't care, you on the way, somebody pulled in, you just coming out and you got road rage, or you left home and you had home rage, you know. You got off the phone and you had phone rage, you know. Left the job last week, got to go tomorrow, you got work rage. I don't care what the issue is, God is worthy of our praise. Now listen to this, because I want you to see.
Oh, clap your hands, and he does not discriminate. He says, all ye people. Now, here's the part that I want to get to, because so many of us, when we're in the house of God, you know, sometimes I just wish, you know, there are signs, and, you know, we've been taught you don't shake babies. You don't shake babies. You know, sometimes we get frustrated, babies crying, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. You don't do that. You don't do that. But you ain't no baby. Well, you might be in the spiritual realm of baby. But sometimes, you know, I just want to just grab you and shake you and bring you into place. Don't you realize the fact that your eyes are open and you can see? You got hands that you can clap, feet that you can walk. I don't care about the mess that happened outside these doors, and even some stuff you might be tripping off of inside these doors. If you put your focus where it ought to be, you'll have a reason to rejoice instead of sitting there looking like somebody has just... I kid you not, I've been in high praise, I mean, many times. I mean, all the glory of God was all in this place. Just felt, sensed the Spirit of God, and then opened my eyes and looked at some of you. Went straight from heaven all the way down to earth. I'm going to leave it at earth. I wasn't going to say earth, but I'm going to leave it at earth. Now listen at this. Because you don't realize you are sitting on your victory. Look at what the rest of verse 1 says. It says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You shout unto God. It ain't for me, for the person sitting on the side of you. Shout unto God. You're making it clear who your praise is directed to. You're making it clear you know who your blessings come from. Shout unto God, but how do you shout unto him? With the voice of triumph. You're talking about a victorious God. A God who is God over all, has all things in his control, can do anything but fail. And yet you go to him and you can't even, you are a people of faith and can't even shout with the voice of triumph to your God. Listen to this. Translated, it literally means shout to the one who's going to give you the triumph. If you can't even shout, God, thank you for the victory, before you go in battle, at least you ought to have sense while you're in battle, going through what you're going through, to lift your voices and say, God, I thank you. Though I've been knocked down, I'm going to win this thing victoriously. With the voice of triumph. Now, oh, Father, here I come, your poor weak in number 7. Not all of the woeful spirits and sayings that we have. God don't want to hear that mess. It's like, ain't nobody told them they got the victory. Has no one shared with them they're the head and not the tail? Have they not been informed that they're on top and not the bottom? Has it not been made clear that they're blessed in the city and in the field? Do they not know that they are more than conquerors? Have they not heard that no weapon that is formed against them shall... trying to get you to understand, if you understood the word and understood your relationship, you'd have a reason to open your mouth and shout unto God with the voice of the voice of triumph comes before the victory of triumph. It's a faith reality. I'm shouting to God who's going to make what I'm shouting to him about a reality. Now, you might not be able to tell your neighbor nothing, but you can shout to God about all your issues and all your concerns, because he is the God who will bring it to pass. I want you to say this. Come on, stay with me for a minute. For the Lord Most High is terrible. One translation said, is awesome. Another translation says, who causes terror to come upon others.
Now listen to this. The only folk who are scared of God are those who oppose God, who are diametrically opposite of the word, the will, and the way of God. And when God, see, saints, the old saints used to have a say. They didn't have to get mad and cuss you out. They all they say, I'm gonna put you in the hand. And they were through with it. And I got news for you. That all they did was release God to do what God wanted to do. Because God has already said that vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. So if you put them in the hands of the Lord, you ain't got to worry about them no more. Worry yourself and trouble yourself. Go on about your business and watch God do what he promised he'll do. Listen to this. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Not some of it. You got little K-I-N-G-S. But he is the capital K-I-N-G, period. He is the king of kings. He is over all the, there is no part of the earth that is considered the earth that he's not over, he's not in control of, that he does not have authority. So now verse 1 deals with our praise and our participation, but verse 2 deals with his preeminence. He is above all. He is over all. He is authoritative and arbitrary and absolute in everything that he does. He doesn't make a mistake because whatever he says come to pass. So he can't lie, because once he speaks it, it happens. Might not happen today, might not happen tomorrow, but you got to know before it's all over, it's going to happen. And so understanding that, look at this, because I want you to see this again. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Now the psalmist references, again, the relevance of the issues and enemies that are immediate to Israel at this time. But not only that, but to all those who in future tense will oppose them and try to subdue them or overtake them or overthrow them. Now, the confidence and the comfort in knowing that God is the great king over all the earth means literally that there's no king that will ever be able to dethrone him. No other power, no other potentate, that he is the king of kings. Now, we are his people, which means that we belong to his kingdom. So if he is authoritative and if he is the one who is here from everlasting to everlasting, our trust is in him. And no matter who comes against him, one or all together against them, they cannot overthrow him. There is a comfort in us knowing that every one of our enemies, present and potential, God will place under us. Under us, because we are under him. In other words, he will make sure that as people of God, we will have the benefit of his kingship, of his leadership, of his power, of his authority. We are the ones who benefit because we've surrendered and submitted our lives to the King of Kings. Now listen to this, because I need you to see this is not just historically speaking about Israel. This is pragmatically speaking about the people of God today who have surrendered and submitted their lives to the Lord. These truths are principles, and regardless of who practices them, they are profitable. Now one of the issues again that we must realize is, and I don't care who we are, where we are, and how much we might think and feel and believe folk love us, we all got some enemies. Some of you know your enemies, and then some of you will be surprised at who your enemies really are. Some of them are far away. Some of them are close up. Some of them live with you. Some of them are surrounding you. Some of them worship with you or in the worship place with you. I mean, you got enemies all around you that you may not be aware of, but God is. I said God is. Why do I have to watch my back when he's got my back? Because goodness and mercy, they are not before me, they are behind me. If he's leading me, listen, that means I'm sandwiched in the middle of God's power, his protection, and his provision. So that means when you understand that kind of security in the Lord, I'm telling you, when you really get a hold of this, you'll be mad and then break out rejoicing. You'll be sad and then break out rejoicing.
Folks start attacking you, you break out rejoicing. Why? Because when you realize who you are, whose you are, and how God operates, you begin to know, God, oh, God's getting ready to take me to another level. God's getting ready to open up another door. God's about to do something great. God is allowing this so that he can take what the devil meant for evil and turn the thing around and make it all work out for my good. I've got a reason to rejoice. I might not be able to pay my rent, but I got a reason to rejoice. They might be about to take my car back, but I got a reason to rejoice. My family is acting funny, and my friends are acting funny, and my money is acting funny, but I got a reason to rejoice in spite of all that's going on. Listen at this. I want you to see this.
Thank you, Lord.
He shall, somebody say shall. He shall subdue the people. I ain't got to put you down. Now look at God. This is what I love about God. Do you know, here you are attacking me, trying to tear me down, trying to hurt me, trying to do this, that. You're my enemy. You're my enemy. This, now put yourself in my place. I'm talking about you, but I'm using me. Now let me show you how awesome God is. God shall subdue. Sub meaning under. All right. Place them in a place where they are inferior, not superior to me. But look at how awesome God is. Here we are eye to eye. God doesn't have to move you to make you subdued to me. All he's got to do is lift me up, and you will be under my. Yeah, somebody ain't getting me here. He don't even have to touch you to bless me. I saw you. You're not hearing me here. See, so many of you want him to work on your enemy. Lord, work on me. Bless me. Take me where you want me to be. Leave my enemy alone. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house. See, you can't get where God's trying to take you because you, Lord, take care of them. Fix them, Lord. Like God, some bulldog. Sick them, God. Sick them. They make me sick. Sick them, God. You missing your blessing. God's trying to take you higher. When he takes you higher, he leaves them lower. And they are subdued under you. But look at, he ain't through yet. Look. And the nations. Now, he's gone from the immediate to the nation. I mean, he's removing. See, once he takes care of your immediate problems. See, because you can't see the forest for the trees. So sometimes he has to deal with the immediacy of your issues before he then begins to deal with the nation or the greatness of your issues. Once he shows you he can handle this, then you begin to believe he can handle that. Have I got a witness in the house? Now look at this again, because I want you to see this before I move to the next verse and stop. The word says, and the nations, plural, under our, and the nations, plural, the people, plural, under our feet. Now listen at this. This literally means to have authority over. The first one, subdued, had to do with position. The second one has to do with power. And the power comes from the position of being under our authority, under our feet, meaning that they then are surrendered and submitted to us. Or the power, or the king, or the authority out of which we operate. Now listen to this, because this is a helpful holy hint for every believer. The enemy's position in your life should always be under your feet. Period. God will subdue him. God's going to do that. Now, once God does that, he lets you know that it's not just temporary. Because this place is a position of permanence. It's not because of who you are. It's because of whose
you are. Now listen to this. Now, if that weren't enough, you know, if God just took care of our enemies, for a whole lot of us, he wouldn't have to do much more. Because, you know, we're always blaming somebody else for what we ain't got. Or we always blaming somebody else for stopping us from getting what we want. Or we always blame somebody else for this, that, and the other. So if God can deal with the enemy in our lives, we wouldn't have no problems. But I want you to know, he's not just interested in taking care of your problems. Because that's a small part. As a matter of fact, that's the beginning. You can't even focus on your blessings. Or the promises for the problems that plague you. So what he does is he always deals with the things that deals with you first, so that you can be liberated to see what God desires to do for you. Let's move to this next verse. The word says, and it's very simple, he shall choose. I like some of the other translations that says, because it puts it in past tense, he has chosen. Look at this now. Stay with me here, because I told you, you got a reason to rejoice. If you don't shout on this verse, you might as well pack your Bible up, go home, and just throw it in the trash can, because you don't want to rejoice. Listen to this. He shall. Now, even if you leave it in the present future tense, and you don't want to look at the fact that it's past tense, in reality, he has already chosen, listen to this, our inheritance. Now, you know what that immediately says to me is that everything God wants me to have, he has already chosen. I want you to see this. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Now, in retrospect, he has already chosen our inheritance for us. Now, let me break it down to you historically so that you can understand it pragmatically in this present day application. First of all, going back, let's read the rest of the verse and see what it says. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. Now let me break this down. First of all, literally, what it is saying is, was God was going to choose what he had given or was going to give to Israel as a promise. Canaan was the land that God chose. The excellency of Jacob was Canaan. It was the pride of Israel. God told them he was going to give them a land that flowed with milk and honey, that they would have vineyards they didn't plant and houses they didn't build and walled cities and a great place. It was what God chose for them. They didn't know. They didn't even have any inkling, any idea. Matter of fact, they were afraid of how great the people were in the land. How can God give me something so great? I don't deserve this. There's no way I can overtake and overthrow the people of that land. I got news for you. If God wants to give it to you, can't nobody stop it. That is the promise right here, that God chooses our inheritance. Now, because he chose it, and because he gave it to them, listen at this, all they had to do was walk in it. They didn't have to fight. They didn't have to strive. They didn't have to trip, and they didn't have to go through all these changes, but they let fear and everything else, looking at what was natural when God gave them supernatural power, blessings, promise, and provisions, and they didn't have sense enough to understand. All they had to do is walk in what God had promised. See, a whole lot of us miss our blessings because we don't have, well, Lord, how this gonna happen? That ain't your business. Well, Lord, somebody is in my place right now. They wait until you get there. Don't you know, if you leave a house boarded up, turn off the air conditioning, sealed up, the house begins to deteriorate. But if you leave somebody in and let them take care of it till you get there, when you get there, they move out.
Oh, y'all ain't act like you understand what I'm trying to tell. The only reason why somebody is in your place right now is because God's got them taken care of.